Romans chapter 6. I've got about 10 names for this thing. I still haven't settled on one. That's why I put dying to self, crucified, I'm crucified, he's crucified. I just didn't know what to call it. So we'll just call it crucified. We're living the crucified life. But let's read Romans chapter 6. That's seven verses there I'm going to read. Romans chapter 6. It says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." That is one profound truth that we could try to get our heads wrapped around. It might help us a whole lot in our Christian life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for just a great section of Scripture here, Lord. And boy, what a challenge, Father. If we could just obey these few verses here, if we could just get a hold on this tonight. Father, I'm trying still to get a hold on this completely. I want to live my life, and I know these people want to live their lives for You. So I pray, Heavenly Father, You just help us tonight as we go through some Scriptures and look at some truths, that, Lord, we'd understand that we can live the crucified life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The old man is crucified. Not was, not will be. The old man is crucified. And there's two great facts there. Christ died for me, and He died for you. But I died with Him. I am crucified with Christ. We are crucified right now. Now, we're going to find out what all that means. But this one little phrase, the old man is crucified, that one little phrase, when put into practice in our lives, it could revolutionize, really, just change completely God's work in us and through us. What could God do in our lives if we just crucified this old flesh? There's several instances of this Bible truth of death and dying in our Christian lives, all through the Bible. Paul mentions it in almost every book that he writes about death or dying to self in the Christian life. So what is it talking about? It's referring to self. Your greatest enemy is yourself. That thing in the mirror, you know, that you look at every day. Self, the old man, the flesh, is the greatest hindrance to walking with God every day. So it's also referred to as the flesh or the old man, that former conversation you'll see in the Bible, that sinful nature that you carry around with you in your flesh. Adam's nature. That's what we battle with every single day. That other nature that is in us. The old man has to be seen, that old nature has to be seen for what it is. It's a body of death. Look in verse 21. "What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death." But we resort back to that old man so often and walk in our flesh and resort to self in all the decisions that we make, and that old man brings forth nothing but death every time we rely on him. That old nature, it brings forth fruit unto death in our lives. So, I'm going to try to find out some ways that we can walk in the Spirit of God and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's going to be a daily thing. It's going to be every day. This isn't something you do on Sunday and it'll last you through the week. You can forget about that. By tomorrow morning, you're going to be battling the flesh again. So it's something that you have to die daily. 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul's talking about the resurrection. And then he says, if Christ is dead, why are we baptizing people for the dead if He's dead? You know. And then Paul goes on and he says, "I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily." He says, "I'm giving up my life every day to serve a risen Lord, not a dead Savior. I serve a risen Lord." He said, "I die daily," and that's what we have to do. Every day, we have to die to self. Die to the old ways and that old nature. So, Romans 12:21. Shane, you turn to Romans 12:1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. So what must we do that is just as important as renewing our minds, according to that verse? What must we do? We need to present our bodies a living sacrifice. You know, before we ever get around to renewing our minds and changing our lives from the inside out through the Bible, there first has to be a sacrifice that I'm not going to walk in that old nature anymore. I have to sacrifice my body as a living sacrifice. I have to give it to God and present it there, all the members of my body, and say, Lord, this is Your body. You paid for this body. This is Yours. I'm not going to use it for the things that I used to do. I'm going to use it to serve You. That's why it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. But we have to resolve ourselves to put this flesh on the altar and sacrifice it. Yes, it's going to get up and it's going to walk around and carry my soul and my spirit where I have to go to serve God. But it can't be making the decisions. My spirit makes those decisions. My soul makes those decisions. Not this old flesh anymore. So we have to sacrifice, lay our bodies out there as a sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, because it's our reasonable service. Turn to Philippians chapter 3. Ore, would you read Philippians chapter 3? And in verse 10. Paul wanted to know Jesus Christ in such a way that he could be like Him. Paul wanted to have a clear understanding of His law. He says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. And then he goes on. But he wanted to be like Jesus. You know, Paul came to a place in his life where the most precious thing in his life was Jesus Christ. All right, it was absolutely priceless to him. And all the worldly riches and all his position and all the power he had before was counted as what? Dung. He said, Jesus is priceless. I put value on that. I don't put value on the worldly things and the riches. I don't put value on that anymore. How is that going to happen, though? How are we going to know Jesus Christ in such a wonderful way? You have to look at those three things there: the resurrection, His sufferings, and His death. Now, I just put the verse up there so that we can look at the first one, the power of His resurrection. You know, the Holy Spirit, Paul wanted to know Him. And the first thing he needed to know was the power of His resurrection. We're coming up here on the resurrection day. And the power of that resurrection was the Holy Spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead. He lives where? Inside every one of us. And that's a wonderful thing, that we have the Holy Spirit of God, the very power of God living inside of us, trying to help us live this Christian life. And frankly, we cannot do it without Him. John 15:5 says, "For without Me ye can do nothing." So we need the power of the Holy Spirit. We like that part of the verse. That's wonderful. I hope that I have the power of the Holy Spirit when I'm doing the Lord's work, because otherwise, it's nothing. I need Him in order to glorify Him. He has to do it through me and through you. The next verse, part of the verse, says, "And the fellowship of His sufferings." It gets a little tougher now. Now when you draw close to Jesus, you start to experience the things that He experienced. The rejection and the hurt and the grief and some of the sorrows and the hardships and the trials that He went through. You're going to start experiencing them. But guess what? You become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. As you walk in His steps, you see. As you get closer to Him, you'll experience those things. But you get to give those things over to Him. And you experience more of Him in you. But the third thing, being made conformable unto His death. It's tough now, doesn't it? This is where you have to die to self. And this is where most of us get stuck. Because we will not take self off the throne of our heart. I am going to do it my way. I'm going to make my decisions. That's the point I will not get past. I'm going to rule in my life. You have to die to self. You have to be made conformable unto His death. Now look, Jesus died to death. We have to die to death to self-ambition and self-will. And say, Lord, what do You want for my life? Now, you've heard this a million times. We hear it many times during the preaching. What does Jesus Christ want me to do in my life? And that question needs to be answered by each and every one of us. But self says, you do what you want to do. Don't you listen to that preacher. Don't you listen to the Word of God. You do what you want to do. You've got big plans. I think Jesus' plans are a little bit better than yours. Amen? I think He has a better life ready for you than whatever you could possibly conjure up in our little pea brains. I think it's time to give our lives to Jesus Christ and be conformed unto His death. You know, Jesus Christ was obedient unto death. We can't even be obedient halfway. We're nowhere near death. A little suffering, a little rejection at the door. And we can't be obedient. We get all upset when someone shuts the door, when we hand them a tract. We can't take that little bit of suffering. We're not going to go very far. You know, Jesus didn't die a peaceful passing among family and friends. And He had pain medication and clean sheets and doctors and nurses attending to Him, did He, when He died? He died a horrible death on the cross. He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Can we just share a little bit in that? Can we be made conformable unto that obedience that Jesus showed us? The flesh and the old man will scream for recognition and run from that kind of sacrifice in service. But that's going to be the difference between glorifying Jesus Christ and getting all the way there and then stopping and drawing back. And say, I want the power of the resurrection. You got it. And you know, I want to be fellowship of His sufferings. And okay, a few trials and hardships, but conformable unto His death? No way. I'm not going that far. And we fall short of really living for Jesus Christ. Hey, every one of us has to answer this question. Am I ready to be made conformable unto the death of Jesus Christ? That old man is going to scream bloody murder. Crucify it. Crucify that old man. Sacrifice it on the altar of obedience. You can't serve two masters. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Hey, how about Nathan and where's Barry? Barry's here. Well, okay. No, Dean. I'll use Dean. He's not as strong as you are. Come on up here. Dean, come on up here. Matthew 6:24. Sarah, are you there? Can you read that for me? Are you there yet? Matthew 6:24. So you can't serve two masters. You know that. I know that. You can't serve the flesh and the spirit at the same time. You can't do it. Don't try it. It can't happen. When you think you're trying to serve both, you're only serving one, the flesh. So you're going to have to mark it down. It's either going to be the flesh or it's going to be the spirit. I cannot serve two masters. We have two distinct and opposite natures in us right now. They're absolutely, totally opposite, like you two. Now, you're going to be the spirit, because I want Dean to be the flesh. Dean's going to be the flesh. Now, in your hand. In your hand. Right now, I have two natures. This is me in the middle, right? This is my soul. This is my mind and will and emotions. But a part of me also is the flesh. And a part of me also is, hey, boo, right? So, we all have this, right? Here they are, right here. But before I got saved, and you know what? Let me just say this. There's always a conflict. You're pulling this way, right? Come, Dan, do this. And you're pulling, no, don't do that. Don't go there. So there's always a tug of war going on. And in your life, too, right? And in your life, too, there's a tug of war going on. It's who you yield to. that you will obey. You know, there was a time when I had a dead spirit. Now, you can just put your hands on my back. And I didn't have to worry. I love you too. I didn't have to worry about my spirit. It was dead. I never obeyed it. It never raised its head or anything. Go ahead, just put your hands on my shoulder. I went wherever the flesh wanted me to go. Yep. And I did all kind of wicked things. For 35 years, I followed this flesh, and I didn't care. Because the spirit wasn't saying a word to me. I was dead. He was dead. My spirit was dead. I went wherever the flesh wanted me to go. But then, at 35 years old, I got saved. And the spirit pulled me back. Amen. And the spirit pulled me back. But you see, there's no problem when only one's tugging. Used to be only one was tugging. Now I have two natures. So what do I have to do? Crucify this flesh. Put it to death like your spirit used to be. And then, like Paul said, I got to carry around this body of this death, but I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. You got it? You got it? Go ahead. So the idea is there won't be such a problem if we take away one of the tugs. Crucify it. Put it to death. I know it's hard, but that's going to be the change in our lives when we don't serve or try to serve two masters. Our problem is we're feeding the flesh. I don't know what it is in your life, but you're giving them something. And it's always a problem, and it's tugging at you. And you can't walk with God. I don't know what it is in your life. I know what it is on my life. And I've been working at it. Because I want to walk with Christ, and I want the crucified life. I'm going to have the body of this death. I'm going to carry it till the end. I can't get rid of it. But I can put it to death. I can destroy its power over me. And I can begin to walk with Christ the way I should. So you can't serve two masters. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. Dean, 2 Peter chapter 1. And in verse 4. So, when you get saved, you are a partaker of what? A divine nature. Christ has made my spirit alive again, and I not only have a renewed spirit, a born-again spirit, but I also witness with His Spirit that I'm a child of God. He's with me. He talks to my spirit. I have that divine nature, and so do you if you're born again. That nature is in you. That new nature is in you. And you've escaped the corruption that is in the world. No one's going to say, but Lord, I can't. I'm sorry. That's a lie. We can. We're not going to live a sinless life. That's not going to happen. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the book. But we can do a lot better than we're doing. Amen? I know we all can do a whole lot better than what we're doing. Amen? I mean, verse 8 says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. What? All the things that pastor's been teaching us about. You know what? You're going to stop at faith. You won't add virtue, knowledge, temperance, all that. You won't add that. Not if you're walking in the flesh. None of these fruits. You may be saved. You might have faith. But you're going to stop right there. I know because I know a lot of people who have gotten saved, and that's where they're at, right there. In fact, they're the ones that you question their salvation, isn't it? Yeah, that's the one you say, I wonder if they're even saved. They're stuck there. And then verse 9 says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. But he's still living in them. Still living in them. It should show on us. It should show that we are partakers of the divine nature. Somebody ought to be able to quote that verse. Therefore, amen. He is a new creature. We know that verse. He is a new creature. He is a new creature. It's present tense. I have been changed. You were changed when you got saved. That other nature moved in. Old things have passed away. Reckon it so in your mind that when you got saved, the power of sin over your life was destroyed. It was. That old man was crucified. We learn as we grow in the Lord, we learn how to walk in that crucified life. Not listening to Him anymore. I'm listening to the Spirit. Because I'm a new creature. The old things have passed away. Everything's become new now. I can walk with God. That's not my power. That's His power in me. Listening to that power, listening to the Holy Spirit of God. Our citizenship has changed. You know, people call themselves Irish Americans. They call themselves German Americans. Yeah. Go to America and nobody's an American. They're all Irish American, German American, Polish American. Maybe someday you'll see it here. I'm a Nigerian Irishman. I'm a Polish Irishman. I'm not an Irish American. I have a Welsh background. My father was German. But I'm an American. I was born in America. If you want to ask me who my ancestors were, you know, they came from this part of that of the world. They came from this part of that world. I'm an American. I don't understand all that stuff. If you ask somebody, just because they're born here, but they're from another country, they're born here, then they're Irish. It's a nationality. It's not a race, it's a nationality. Okay? Well, we have to realize that our citizenship has changed also. Okay? We're not Adam Christ. We're Christ. We're in Christ. You can't serve two masters. When you were born in Adam. But what happened? You were born again. And now you're in Christ. You're not Adam Christ. You're in Christ. Your citizenship has changed. It's saved or lost. Carnal or Christ-like. Obedient or disobedient. Dead or alive. It's as simple as that. It's black and white. Only one can rule at a time. Only one can rule at a time. But you'd be amazed how much self creeps in to make all these different decisions. I thought of how do you stop the pervasiveness of self? And the only way you can do it is the way the Bible tells us. I thought of the dam out there, the Inishkara Dam. It holds back water. And you could try to hold back that old nature, but it's not going to work. You can't put up a dam. All right, you can't put up a dam because guess what? They have to let water through the dam or the water's going to go over the dam. The water will find a way around the dam. What do? You find out wherever the Lee River starts and you cut off the supply. The only way I'm going to cut off the old nature, the only way I'm going to stop it from bleeding into my life all the time is to cut it off. Crucify it. Don't pay attention to it. It's dead. It has no power over you anymore. The only time it does is when we allow it to have power in our lives. Otherwise, it's dead. I mean, the Bible tells us it's crucified. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Turn there. Barry? Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. So they're against each other. They're absolutely contrary and against each other. They're never going to gel together. They're as different as fire and water. All right? They're against each other all the time. So you have to realize that. But that is truly great news. That verse 16 is absolutely wonderful news. Why? Look at the verse. Look at the verse. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not, what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. Whose fault is it if we sin? It's ours. We've chosen to walk in the flesh. But if we walk in the Spirit, the promise is, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It can't happen. If I would just choose to crucify that flesh and walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That is a promise from God that we need to claim in our lives. We need to live this out in our lives. It's a choice. You know, I didn't want to do it, but I just couldn't help myself. Who said that, Eve or Adam? Are you kidding? We say that all the time. I couldn't help myself, or I didn't want to do it, but it just happened. No! You ought to tell the truth like I have to tell the truth. I wanted to. I kid around all the time, tell people we sin with our eyes wide open. We know what we're doing. Very seldom do we just happen to fall into sin. Come on. We sin because we want to. Sin is pleasurable for a season. But that's not the Christian life. So there's a conflict. Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 22 through 24. Go ahead, Colette. So, you know what? Paul is saying it is not easy to do right. It's really not. Because of the flesh. You know, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. In my new spirit, all I want to do is serve God. All you want to do is do right. But there's another law in my members, in my flesh, that fights against me all the time. You see? All the time. It's a war, Paul says, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I just mess up so much. It's a war that is going on in your between those two natures. But it is winnable. It is winnable. You have to see the flesh, that old man, as it really is. It's a wild man. It is an absolute wild man. You know, even the wildest of creatures, left alone, looks quiet and peaceful till a tame and normal civilized creature is put in the cage with it. I mean, if you have a lion in a cage, it'll just lay there. Right? Ori? If a lion's in a cage, it just lays there. They probably sleep 18 hours a day, right? But if you throw a lamb in there with it, guess what happens? Ah! That lion lashes out! That's dinner, man! Poor thing just lost 2 years off her life. That lion will lash out. That's dinner. And that's the nature that is in every one of us here. It's fine until it's time to do right. And then the old nature lashes out, all right? Like the lion. It's exactly what happens in our lives. That's what you fight every day. Leave that flesh alone. Let it do what it wants. It's fine. You try to start doing right. It's going to lash out. It's going to lash out against the lamb. Then you'll see the old man rage. Such is the conflict that's between self and the new nature. That conflict wasn't there till you got saved. But you're going to have to live with it now, and you're going to have to crucify the flesh. Hey, turn to Mark chapter 5. You remember this man here? That's the demoniac, the Gadarene demoniac. Turn to Mark chapter 5. Let me read these few verses here. Let me see first if I can find them, then maybe I'll have Tony read them there. Mark chapter 5. Tony, read 2 through 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. Yep.
And when he was come out of the ship, immediately they met him, out of the man of the mountain. So had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could find him to go down to change. But that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been thrust upon his iron, the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains, and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself to stone.
You see what kind of life this man had to live? Can you imagine that kind of a life? Hey, do you remember your wild man? I'm looking around because I know some of your testimonies. You remember your wild man, don't you? You remember him? He still lives there. He's still there, you know. You have a new nature now. Besides that wild man, I mean, what a shame. That's what I wrote in my Bible here next to tame him. Could not any man tame him. He was a wild man. He was out of his mind. But he was crying. He was in torments. He wanted to be changed. And only Jesus can do it. He's still with you. That same rebellious nature, that wild man, is still with you. Aren't you thankful that you don't do the same things you used to do? Can you see that you have cut him off a little bit? You want to move to the next level? You've got to crucify him. Crucify that old nature. Adam's rebellious nature. Crucify it. And frankly, only Jesus Christ can do that. You can't do it. You cannot do it. Any attempts by you to do it will fall short. It has to be complete submission. It has to be a death. You can't put makeup on a pig. All right? This is what we try to do. The makeover. We try to do the makeover. Amen? As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman, which is without discretion. You know, a woman can be very fair, can dress nice and look wonderful, but she has no virtue, no judgment, no honor. Well, thank you. It's like putting a ring in that pig's snout. That's what the Bible says. But that's what we try to do. You cannot change the old man. You cannot put makeup on a pig. It's still a pig. You can't change it. You're not going to make it better. And praise God, you can't change the new nature either. The new nature is what it is. It's a divine nature. They're absolute opposites. 2 Peter 2:22 tells us that dogs go back to the vomit and the pig goes back to the wallow. So don't trust that old nature. Don't put lipstick on it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to dress it up because it's still a pig. It's still the old man. We try to make self look spiritual. You can't do it. That's what happens. It's too crafty for you. All right? It's too crafty for you. It's too slick. It'll find a place to hide. You have to crucify it. You know, do you really want to trust that old sinful nature? Do you really want to be ruled in your life by those old corrupt ways that you used to do? I mean, Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man. Is he how wonderful he is? He's corrupt according to deceitful lusts. You got to crucify him. That's the crucified life, is crucifying that old nature. It doesn't know how to do anything else than be what it is. So don't trust it. Don't try to change it. Don't try to dress it up. It is corrupt according to deceitful lust. It will deceive you if you try and trust it. Paul tells us in Romans 7:24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Self can't be cleaned up. It can't be suppressed. All those desires that you have, you can't suppress them. It can't be eradicated. It's there for life. We will shed it when we die and we get a new body. But until then, crucify it. Put it to death. Crucify the old flesh, the old man's self. Romans 6 says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now let's look up some verses. Galatians 2:20, Martin. Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. You know, we quote these verses all the time. It's time we started living them. It's time we started looking at the truth that's there and tried to live that truth. Galatians 2:20. Is that present tense, Martin? I am crucified with Christ? It's present tense. And how do you live this life? In your own power? What does the verse say? By? We live it by faith. Right. Christ lives His life in and through us by faith. That's what we're learning about all year. It's faith to trust God. Galatians 5:24. Marcus. If they that are Christ have crucified, have crucified the flesh with its affections and lust. They have done that. It's a done deal. Those desires have been crucified. And Tess, how about chapter 6 and verse 14? Wow. I am crucified. The world is crucified unto me. It doesn't have its appeal anymore. It's dead to me, and I'm dead to it. We should not have that same appeal anymore with the world. It should be dead unto us. Paul said, it's crucified unto me, and I'm crucified unto it. Paul got this thing right. Even though it was a constant battle, we're going to fight the battle every day. It is present tense. Every single day I have to do it. Every hour, every minute, every second, when you wake up tomorrow, say, I have to crucify the flesh. Don't take yesterday's crucifixion. It's no good. You have to put it to death and say, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ today. How am I going to do that? By not paying attention to that old man. He's dead today. Lord, what do you want me to do? Simple as that. That's the crucified life. Remember that everything that we're learning about is in the present tense. It's for now. It's not for tomorrow. It's for right now. Every moment that you live, every thought, every deed has to be done in the Spirit of God, not in the flesh. Okay? So right now, here tonight, you can. Romans 6:11 says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Reckon. Reckon means to reason and conclude that something is true. It's true! Say, it's true! It's true. I know it's true that I'm dead indeed unto sin. It does not have power over me anymore unless I let it have that power. Okay? Only a couple more here. Self must be denied. Turn to Mark chapter 8. I'm going to go ahead and read here. Where are we? Verses 31 through 37. It says, and he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Okay, so he's telling them, hey, I'm going to die, I'm going to be crucified, but I'm going to rise again. And he spake that saying openly. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Where's Peter's head at? But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. He was talking about Peter. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake and the Gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You're going to have to deny self. Peter was concerned about him. He didn't want Jesus to go to the cross. He didn't want to be a part of any of that. And he showed it by his denial of Christ 3 times, denying him. And that's what Jesus said to him. Peter, you're just savoring. You're just interested in the things of men, not in the things of God. And we're the same way. When self sits on the throne of our heart, I'm more concerned about me and what's going on in my life and how I can protect me, self-righteous, self-pleasing. It's all about me. That's the whole generation out there in the world. It's the me generation. It's all about them. That should not be the life of the Christian. There has to be self-denial. Every second of every day, for the rest of your life, you have to be focused on denying self, the flesh, its way. You have to put your personal desires to death. Now, that does not mean that every personal desire is bad. How do you weigh your personal desires? Against the Bible. against the Bible. You hold up and say, this is okay, this is all right to do, this is fine, this doesn't offend Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about, look, the flesh has to eat, the flesh has to drink, but not in excess, and all the other things that the flesh does, and the decisions that self makes. Let's stay focused on the will of God. What is the will of God? We look into the Bible. Does anybody know who Dr. A.T. Pearson is? Good, neither do I. I just thought I'd put him up there because I want you to know I didn't think of this. It says, lay the axe at the root of the tree of self. He says, you got to cut it down. You know, you can't dress it up. There's no makeover here. You're going to have to cut it down. Self cannot be making the decisions in your life. It has to be the new man. It has to be according to the Word of God. All other attempts, instead of complete denial of self, will be seen for what they are. Here's a list of them. Self-righteousness, self-trust, self-seeking, it's all about me. You see? Self-pleasing, it's all about me. Self-will, I want to do it my way. Self-defense, how about you always getting hurt? You always getting hurt by people? You're going to have to die to self. A dead man can't be hurt. It's tough. I know we have feelings and emotions. But you're going to have to get over it and get past it because people are going to hurt you. And you're going to have to just say, I'm going to die to that. I'm not going to let that bother me. I'm just going to walk with God. I'm going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to do what Jesus would do. Self-defense, right? Like you're thinking right now, He's not talking about me. You're defending yourself. He's not talking about me. He's talking about the person next to me. That's your wife. And how about self-glory? You know, lifting ourselves up. It's all about me. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says that no flesh should glory in His presence. And I guarantee you it won't. Now, you might have a little glory for a while, but all of a sudden the rug's going to be pulled out. Every one of us has to constantly remember, it's Him. He gets the glory. Not me. Help. Colossians chapter 3. I need some help. Colossians chapter 3. Let me just get somebody to read. Who didn't read? Eddie, you were next. Can you read 7 verses? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Read that again, Eddie, verse 3. Amen. Go ahead, keep going. Concupiscence. So, what do? I have to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And here it is, set your affection. What do you value? What do you love? What do you think about? What do you put a high price on? That's your affections. Set your affection on things above. That's where our value should be, not on things of the earth. Why? Because ye are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. Then, in verse 5, it says, mortify, put to death the old man. You see, crucify it. Sin has lost its draw. We need to learn to live without it in its place all the time. Put it aside. When sin comes knocking, just say, I died to that. I don't do that anymore. You know, we kind of like hold on to our little sins. Hey, at one time I did wicked drugs and all that stuff. And I did it. I don't do that anymore. What are the things I do? Just because you don't drink anymore doesn't mean that you've arrived. Paul said, I have not apprehended. I keep pressing on. Because there's a lot of other things in my life that are just as bad as drinking and drugs and smoking. There's cursing and there's evil thoughts and there's backbiting and there's gossip and talebearing. All those things have to be crucified. So we're not any better if we're still walking according to the flesh. So don't pat ourselves on the back. I'm not what I used to be. Yeah, and you're not what you're going to be yet. So you better keep going on living a crucified life. Set your affections on things above. Young people, set your affections on things above. Because if your gaze gets on things down here, you are going to walk away from Jesus Christ just as fast as Judas did. You will sell Him out for 30 pieces of silver. Keep your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put off those dead works of the flesh which come from the crucified flesh and live unto Christ. That's that old nature. There's the flesh and the spirit all the time talking in your ear. You hear it day down here in that voice saying, do this, do this. You know it's wrong. So you listen to the Spirit of God. You listen to that new nature say, you don't do those things. That's wicked. That's vile. That offends our Lord Jesus Christ. Make the right choice. Crucify the flesh. First thing you get up, crucify and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, Ephesians 5:8 tells us that we are now children of light. We're not children of darkness anymore. Okay? We're to walk as children of light. I don't have to live that way anymore. I don't have to live that way anymore. Victory. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Just a few verses of encouragement here because there is victory. There is victory. God's given us everything that we need to have victory in our lives, to live this life crucified. Romans chapter 6. Whether we realize it or not, we now have power over our sin nature. Alright, so verse 11 says, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, to me, if I just flip that around, I can let sin reign in my mortal body. When I sin, that's what I've done. I've allowed sin to have dominance over me, to have dominion in my life. And I start serving the flesh, serving that sin nature with these members, with my body. But the Bible says, let not sin. Now, if you couldn't do it, God wouldn't tell us that we could. He said, let not sin. You have a choice, is what He's saying. You do not have to obey that old nature. So God doesn't need your finger shaking at Him. And I can't tell God, you caused this. You allowed this to happen. No. You wanted it. You wanted to sin. We do not have to serve sin any longer. Verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. And just because you're saved doesn't mean when you sin that you don't cause death, because you do. You cause yourself to lose fellowship with Jesus Christ. And if you keep going down sin's path in a destructive way, you will meet an early death. Because sin causes death. But it's who we yield to. But we don't have to yield. Okay? We don't have to do that anymore. So you can have dominion over your sin nature. Verse 14 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Do you hear me? For sin shall not have dominion over you. That means it won't have rule over you. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Isn't that wonderful that we're under grace now? We can live a life of grace by the power, by the enablement of Jesus Christ. I have grace to live this Christian life. Jesus wants to live His life through me. We're alive in Him. He died unto sin once, and we can have the victory through our life lived in Him. There's no one to blame but yourself. And I know that if I asked Dennis, who is your worst enemy? You are. Right. He tells me that all the time. And don't think that hasn't gotten down into my heart. My worst enemy is me. And Dennis knows his worst enemy is sitting right there in the chair. It's his flesh. That's our worst enemy. Don't blame it on the devil. Don't give him so much credit. That's your flesh. The devil gets way too much credit. He's only in one place at a time. Now, He could scoot over from China right now and be with us in a second. But He can't be in China and here at the same time. Jesus Christ is everywhere all at once. So He's not God. So He's not always here, Leo. And maybe some of His little minions might be around. But you know who sins? Our flesh. We want to. So we have to crucify it. We want to. Free from sin by obedience to Jesus Christ. It's a choice. Choose life. Choose Christ. Verse 22 says, "But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life." Examine your fruit. What's going on in my life? What am I dealing with in my life? Sin? Crucify the old man. Do I have some fruit in my life? Am I showing myself that I'm walking with God? And finally, what's the result of self-denial? What's the result of the crucified life? You want to know? Do you really want to know? It's joy. You wonder why you're miserable? Yeah. We are most miserable when we're not serving God and when we're not walking with Him, because that's who we are. Our life is in Christ. If we start walking with Him, we'll have the joy again in our life. And I know that because the Bible tells us that. Remember when you got saved? I remember the night I got saved. I was a bad man. I was a wild man. I was so full of shame and guilt and sin, and I was so broken. But when I got saved, I rose off the floor. I had joy unspeakable. And you can remember the time that you got saved. You know why? Because it was all about Him. I was saved. And I was so happy, full of joy in my life. Joy. The reason you don't have joy, the reason you're moping around and dragging your lip, is because you're living after the crucified man instead of after the Spirit of God. David remembered the joy he had before his selfish, flesh-gratifying, sinful behavior with Bathsheba. And he wanted that inner joy back. Psalm 51:12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." David remembered the joy that he had, and he wanted it back. Hey, maybe you think you have joy, but you're just running on happiness, like Andrew taught us on Friday night. You're just running on happiness, up and down, up and down, up and down. Joy is always up here. Nobody can touch it, because it's a fruit of the Spirit of God. Crucify the flesh and you'll have joy in your life again. Amen? How about tonight? Who's in charge? Who's sitting on the throne of your heart? Who's controlling your life? Is it you or is it Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank You for the message that You've given me. It's helping me, Lord. I want to be a better Christian. I want to have joy. I want to walk with You. I don't want to do the same old sins over and over again. I want to crucify that old man tonight. I want to make sure that tomorrow morning when I wake up, I'm thinking about it all day long. Crucifying the flesh. I want to walk with Jesus Christ. I want the joy in my life. And I'll bet you there's some here tonight, Lord, that are calling out to You in their own heart. They've been hurt. They don't know how to get rid of these nagging sins. It's because they like them. We like our sins. But Father, it steals our joy. So I pray, Father, that tonight You'd help us to confess those sins and get it under the blood and then to crucify this corrupt, deceitful flesh that we have to carry around with us all day long. And walk according to that new nature that You've given us, Lord. We have the power to do it. It's living inside of us, and His name is Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that You just work in our hearts. Teach us, Lord, how to live the crucified life. In Your name I pray. Amen.